The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders, the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
5 new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Hello, my name is Reed Nielsen, and I am a professor of church history and doctrine at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, where I teach on the International Church. Today I'm interviewing President Miguel Angel Tenorio of the Bolivia Cochabamba Mission. President Tenorio, it's a pleasure to be visiting with you today.
It is a pleasure for me to visit with you, brother.
What I'd like to begin with is just some personal questions about your background. Tell us about your experiences in the church before being called as president of the Cochabamba Mission.
Well, my parents and my older brothers were baptized in northern Mexico in 1958. So my family has now 50 years as a member of the church. Basically, I was raised as a church member. I was 2 years old when that happened. And all my time I've been spent as a member of the church. I served my mission in the Mexico Hermosillo Mission from 1977 to 1979. I have been 2 times bishop, one in Mexico City and one in Lima, Peru. I've been also 2 times member as a stake presidency. And I lived the last 7 years of my life in Lima, Peru, working for the presiding bishopric office in Lima. And I was there when I received this calling. It was a total surprise for me, but we are very grateful to serve now in Cochabamba.
Well, it sounds like you've had some real church experience, both in Mexico, then Peru, and now in Bolivia. That's quite remarkable. Well, tell us about Bolivia. For our listeners, where is it located in South America? What are the neighboring countries? What is it like, actually? What's the culture like in Bolivia?
Bolivia is neighboring with Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil. The major religion is Catholic, and Spanish is the official language, but also there are 2 main languages spoken here in Bolivia. There's Aymara, who is spoken predominantly in La Paz and areas surrounding Lake Titicaca. But in this mission, the native language is Quechua, and we have several wards and branches where the majority of the members speak that language. On those areas, my missionaries learn some basic expressions, and they teach many lessons through a member translator.
So the missionaries come. Are those languages taught in the missionary training center, or do they just learn them on the streets there?
No, they just learning with the members.
I see. Wonderful. Well, a little bit of background on the church in Bolivia. I know the first missionaries came from the Andes Mission in 1964, and within 2 years there were several branches there in the area. Another milestone in 1977, President Spencer W. Kimball came to Bolivia for an area conference there in La Paz. The first stake was created in Bolivia in 1979. And I know that by the year 2000, there were over 100,000 members in about 21 stakes and 230 wards and branches scattered throughout Bolivia. Of course, another major milestone was President Hinckley dedicating the Cochabamba Bolivia Temple in 2000. So what I'm curious about is, are there other missions there in Bolivia?
Yes, there are another two missions in Bolivia. The La Paz Mission, who has 3 of the 9 departments or states in the country. There's the Santa Cruz Mission, who has 2 of the states. And then there's the Cochabamba Mission, who has 4 of the states in the middle part of the country. We have the state of Cochabamba, the state of Chuquisaca, Potosí, and Tarija. And so there are 3 missions c- currently in Bolivia.
And where is the mission home there in Cochabamba? Is it there in a major city? Is it more in a rural area? Tell us about the mission home itself.
Cochabamba is the third largest city in Bolivia,
uh-huh.
after La Paz and Santa Cruz. And I have been blessed to live in the mission home that is in the strict back of the temple. So when I open the window every morning, I see the temple right there.
So the temple is right next to the mission home.
That's right.
And what difference has the temple made in the lives of the Bolivian saints?
It has been a blessing for the members in Bolivia. Of course, our mission takes good advantage to have it in Cochabamba because the temple itself, it's a great missionary. I know of a member here in Cochabamba who drives a taxi cab. He told me that on one occasion, he was taking some Argentinian tourists to the airport. And they said, we still have some time, and we see all the attractions in Cochabamba. Do you think, is there anything left to see? And he said, yes, you cannot leave before you see this. And he drove them to the temple.
Really?
And being a former missionary in Peru, he had the chance to explain about temples, families, the plan of salvation. Of course, he got the name and addresses. And after they left, they said to him, thank you very much to make this stop. This stop was really the cherry on the cake, and it was a great, great experience. So really, the temple itself, you can see it's on a hill, and it's magnificent. It's really take the attention of everybody who passed by.
Are your missionaries able to go to the temple while they're there on their missions?
Yes, since we have it here, we got the permission, and every time that we have a transfer time, we go once every 6 weeks with the missionaries serving in Cochabamba.
I bet they love coming to the mission home and being close to the temple.
That's right, yes. Yes, it is a blessing, and we are really blessed to have it here in Cochabamba.
Well, before they dedicated the Cochabamba Temple with President Hinckley, where did the saints in Bolivia go to the temple?
Well, the closest temples were in Buenos Aires for the ones who live in the south part of Bolivia. And then the ones who live close to Lake Titicaca, they go to Peru. And then the ones who live close to Brazil went to São Paulo. So basically, those are the three temples they were visited before, Buenos Aires, Lima, and São Paulo.
And so for the members in the, say, in La Paz, how many hours would it take them to get to the closest temple?
About 2 to 3 days.
So it was a major sacrifice to go to the temple before the temple was dedicated there in Bolivia.
It is a great sacrifice to save money to take all the family. So for some of them, it took a while to have enough funds to travel to those places. Now there is still there are some who need to travel about 18 hours to come here, but 18 hours is nothing compared with the sacrifices they did before.
And what tremendous blessings for not only for your mission, but for the country as a whole to have a temple there.
Yes, it is, indeed.
Do the Bolivian Latter-day Saints, do they get involved with family history research, or is there a genealogical program there that they really have embraced and have caught a hold of with the temple in their midst?
Yes, we have, or every state have a family history center now. In every stake center, and full equipped with all the things that the church has to offer, and in the temple, inside the temple, in the temple grounds, there's a big family history center that serves all the people who comes and to the temple, and they can work down there and prepare their names for the ordinances. So yes, the family history program is working well, and I think in the years to come it will be better and better.
Well, tell us more about the mission itself, the Cochabamba mission. How many missionaries do you have? How many are elders? How many sisters? Do you have senior missionaries? Are the missionaries mostly Bolivian? Are they North American? What is the mission like?
I have 126 missionaries right now. My North American missionaries had to leave the country in September 2008. At that time, I had 140 missionaries, but my numbers were reduced to 79 after they left, and 49 of the missionaries received temporary assignments in several Peruvian missions, and now it has been approved for their return, and we expect to reach about 150 missionaries when all of them return. And I have missionaries from several countries. I have, the majority are Bolivians right now. I have about 40 of them. The next country with more missionaries is Peru. Then we have from Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, Chile, and Guatemala. I have one sister from Guatemala. And of course, after my missionaries, North American missionaries return, I will have 40 missionaries. I have 18 sister missionaries, and the remainder are elders. And I'm going to receive another 6 to 8 sister missionaries that are serving right now in Peru on a temporary assignment. So in the end, I will have about 24 sisters, and the rest will be elders. And I have a couple, a North American couple, who had to leave the mission, but they will return again. And they will help us with the two districts that we have in our mission.
Well, it sounds like a great group of missionaries. Now, the missionaries from Latin America, before they come to your mission, what missionary training center do they go to?
They go to the Lima, Peru Training Center. All my missionaries assigned to Cochabamba are going to the Lima, Peru Training Center.
And because of your experience in Peru with the presiding bishopric's office, you're probably very familiar with the MTC there.
Yes, I am familiar, and I was participating in the construction of several adjacent buildings to the structure, and I believe they have space for two other buildings in case in the future they will need to expand, and they will reach to expand and to house 450 missionaries. Right now they can house 150.
Wow.
Missionaries.
Wow. What about the North American missionaries? Do they go to the MTC in Provo, or do they go straight to Peru as well?
Well, they go 3 weeks to the MTC in Provo, and then they arrive in Lima for 6 weeks. So after, they spend 9 weeks in those two MTCs.
And is that mostly for language training or culture training, or
yeah.
And how
language
training? What is the fluency of missionaries from North America in Spanish when they arrive in your mission?
Well, they have a very basic understanding, but it is incredible to see how they learn so fast. I'm amazed to see, and it's really the gift of tongues. It's really in these missions. They learn very, very fast.
Well, tell us about the daily life of missionaries there in Bolivia. What is their schedule? How do they do their missionary work? Is it street contacting? Are they visiting homes? Are they getting member referrals? How does missionary work actually happen in Bolivia?
Well, we basically comply with the mission schedule as it is in the white Bible as they it is
right,
known
the
by
handbook.
Missionaries. And we are working very hard for more member participation, and I believe that we will succeed, but in the meantime, we still do a lot of tracking. Mornings are kind of difficult because fathers and a good percentage of mothers are working. So we do a lot of servings during morning hours. And the best time to find and teach is during afternoons and evenings. And we receive in our mission training as mission presidents, President Monson taught us that there is no substitute for a member-oriented proselyting program. He said it is the key to success, and we are trying to honor his promise. We are trying to work hard with the members for more participation. And it's coming. I believe that it will come, and in the end we will get more references from the members.
That's great. I know it's a challenge all over the world. The ideal is for the members to find and the missionaries to teach, but sometimes it's a challenge, to say the least. It is a challenge. You mentioned service that your missionaries do in the mornings. What type of service opportunities do they have?
Well, there's a lot of service opportunities. We are allowed for every missionaries to have 4 hours of service every week. So we can service the members, the non-members, or investigators, and even we sometimes with a stake. If the stake has a plan to perform service for a school or a government building or something, we can join forces with the members, and we can participate in those kinds of service.
I imagine having your missionaries out, both teaching and also serving the people, raises the profile and gives the church a good name there in the area.
Elder Christofferson came to Bolivia in February, and he had the chance to spend a lot of time with the members and some time visiting with some governmental officers. And I think, and I can say that the image of the church is very strong, and they have a lot of respect for the church and the program, and also the humanitarian effort that the church has been doing here in Bolivia.
Well, President Tenorio, tell me about some of the successes, the conversions, public affairs, good things that have been happening in your mission.
Central America and South America are the lands of the Book of Mormon. It has been prophesied that the church will flourish here. And of course we have a challenge. The challenge is basically growth. We are growing very rapidly, and to keep the members within the church has been a challenge. So our goals in our mission is that all the baptisms, we have to work very hard to keep them in the church and have a full retention of them. So, but we have a lot of success, and I know that the three missions here in Bolivia, likewise the mission in Peru, are successful missions. And as you asking me to share one story of conversion, I remind one very recently story. I had the opportunity to interview a sister for her baptism, and also I also interviewed her husband who was with her, and they told me that his older son, who was about 15 or 16 years old, heard about the church in La Paz, and he asked permission for their parents to go to the church, and after several weeks, he decided to baptize in the church, and he got the permission of their parents, and he was baptized, only him in the family. And this brother told me in the interview that one day he was trying to speak over the telephone in a cabin, and he heard of a lady who was speaking to other people about the Mormons, and she said, "My son became part of that religion, and I don't know about him. He left for a mission and never came back." So I believe that that they take this young man and prepare for I don't know what, and then they disappear.
Oh, wow.
So he said that he became very, very concerned about his son, thinking that because he heard his son talking about mission.
And he was afraid he'd never come back.
That's right. So when he came back to his home, he told to his wife about all that conversation that he heard. And they decided to tell his son not to go to the church anymore. But they said, no, he was really very faithful. So in one occasion, I lost my job in La Paz. We decided to came to Cochabamba, and we decided that this was a very good opportunity to say to my son, there's no church in Cochabamba, so forget about that church. And they did.
Uh-huh.
They did. They told to his son, don't look for your church because there's no church in Cochabamba. So he became inactive. And he said that in very recently they have a daughter who was having she was very sick, and no medical treatment was working with her. So they began to try everything their neighbors and their acquaintances said, go to this, go to that. And one time he said, my son came. And he said to them, I found my church. I know the missionaries who have the priesthood. So if you can agree, if you agree, they can come and bless my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So they agreed. The missionaries came, bless his sister, and his sister became well almost immediately. So they become very interested in the church. They receive the lessons. They become to go to church, and then finally they were baptized. All the family, four sisters, the parents, and it was a very, very good time. My wife and I went to the baptismal service, and it was a great, great experience. And this young man is now preparing to go to the mission, and he helps a lot to the missionaries. He can go and work with them. It was a great day.
What a remarkable story, all because of the faith of a young son. Now generations and family members are in the church. That's what a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Well, you mentioned earlier about Latin America being part of the Book of Mormon lands. We know the President Kimball and other prophets have told the Latter-day Saints that many of the peoples in Latin America are the descendants of Lehi, the children of Lehi. What impact does that have on your missionary work? Do the members in Bolivia feel that connection? Do they feel that identity as children of the promise, that blessings are coming to them because of covenants made anciently with Lehi?
Yes.
And his children?
Yes, they did. And basically, one of the pillars in our mission is to work with the Book of Mormon, because the Book of Mormon has the story of these ancient people who live somewhere here in America, when we teach and we are working very hard with the missionaries, I was telling them recently that no investigator can progress without reading the Book of Mormon and asking God about the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. But if you can persuade them to read about these people who basically are their ancestors, they will feel that the Book of Mormon is filled of stories and the prophecies of this book coming in this time to help these people to progress again. There's a lot of poverty here, and I think that the church will have the power to change their minds, and they will progress and will be prosperous. And so this is the great power that the Book of Mormon has when the people read them and follow all the lessons there are for us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your testimony on the Book of Mormon. You mentioned, President Tenorio, about the temporal blessings of that the saints will receive as they join the church, that they will be able to enjoy a better standard of living as they live gospel principles. Do they have the perpetual education fund there in Bolivia yet?
Yes, they have, and it is working very, very good. As I mentioned, since I was working in the bishopric office down there in Peru, I know that all of the good progress that the program has. I know that this is the third largest program in the world, only behind to Brazil and Mexico.
For the Perpetual Education Fund.
Is
yes. That, okay. The, I see.
For Peru and Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people taking advantage of this.
So you have actually seen the fruits of the program. You've seen people's lives change there in Bolivia and Peru.
That's right.
Great. Well, I think our time is about over. It's sure been a pleasure for me to hear about how the church is going forward in Bolivia, to hear about the temple, missionary work, the members there. I sure appreciate your time. I'd like to conclude, if it's all right, with your testimony. Would you mind sharing your testimony in English and then your testimony in Spanish for us, President Tenorio?
Thank you, Brother Nielsen. I will try to do my best in English. I have a testimony. As President Monson said in this DVD that was released when he became the prophet of the church, I can say that I don't know exactly how I gained my testimony, but I gained my testimony when I was a child. The Doctrine and Covenant says that there's a gift to believe in the words of the ones who know, and I think that at the beginning that was the case. I believed in the testimony of others when I was a child. But now I know for myself, through the Spirit of the Lord, I don't have any doubt that this is the work of God, that He lives, that Jesus lives, that He provide us with the atonement to give the opportunity to every one of us to go back to our Father in heaven. That is my testimony. Now, ahora en español, como mencioné en inglés, no sé exactamente cómo llegó el testimonio, fue paso a paso, creyendo, como dice Doctrina y Convenios, primero con el don de creer y después obteniendo a través del Espíritu el testimonio de esta gran obra. Sé sin ninguna duda en mi corazón que Dios vive, que Jesucristo vive y que esta es su iglesia restaurada sobre la tierra. Y que a través de su sacrificio tenemos la oportunidad de arrepentirnos y bautizarnos y ser parte de su iglesia. Y tal como el Libro de Mormón menciona, esta es la doctrina de Cristo, el Evangelio de Cristo, el arrepentimiento y el bautismo. Y ahora que estoy en la misión, estoy disfrutando mucho de ese testimonio, de saber que estamos, mis misioneros y yo, completamente involucrados, predicando la doctrina y el Evangelio de Cristo, que es el arrepentimiento y el bautismo. Y este testimonio lo digo en el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén.
Amen. Well, thank you, President Tenorio. It sounds like the church in Bolivia is in good hands, the missionaries are doing well, and the work continues to go forward. So thank you and good luck with your continued missionary work.
Thank you very much, Brother Neil. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Into All the World.